path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
You good?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm great, man. No problems.
Good.
Had a good weekend. You
did?
Yeah, not bad.
What happened?
Well, nothing really, but, you know, it was nice. Watched a lot of football.
Relaxed, watched some football.
Yeah, my oldest played baseball. Life is good.
And how did baseball go?
Good. He hit one out, so that's good. You're always happy when I hit one out.
Well, yeah, that's pretty awesome. He texted me this morning.
What did he say?
He's got a teacher. I think you and I have talked about this before, but a guy that I knew.
You were growing up with. I met him a couple times. He said he grew up with you.
Like a guy I grew up going to church with, like spent holidays with and stuff.
Oh, really? I didn't know it was that close.
Yeah, yeah. They were like, you know, part of that church group. He would have met Alice from the Brady Bunch.
Oh, really?
As well.
I never asked him about that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah, anyway.
I think he's a soccer coach.
That would make perfect sense because he loved soccer.
Well, there you go. I think that's what he does. I'm not positive.
Okay, that would make sense. So, I think, wait, am I on the wrong weekend? I think, didn't Michigan eke out a win over UCLA? Was that
No, Minnesota.
Oh, it was Minnesota. Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Oregon beat UCLA.
Oregon beat UCLA. And that, it looked like, last I checked, looked like, I mean, they were ahead by...
They won. It was late at night, but they won pretty handily.
Okay, okay. And there was no Mizzou this weekend, so I was...
I text Dan Landy before the games with a little that emoji duck.
And does he always text back?
Yeah, he'll either put, like this time, he's, you know, he did, you know, LFG, only written out.
Okay.
Sometimes he'll give a heart or, yeah.
I tried to explain yesterday, I was trying to explain to Brooke's sister, because we were watching the Chargers and the Chiefs and trying to explain Harbaugh. And, actually, Brooke started, she's like, you know, Laszlo... Talk to that guy. Like, they had email correspondence.
Right.
She was asking, like, well, do they still? And I was like, I feel like he's just kind of now moved on to.
I haven't emailed him since he went to the Chargers.
That's what I was thinking.
But I had talked to him during that national championship run, but I haven't talked to him since.
Because he wrote back each time.
Every time, yeah.
Every time. And what was his connection to Kansas City? That, not that it matters. His wife?
Mother-in-law lives here.
Okay. I told him, I was like, he's got some connection to. Yeah. Kansas City, and anyway.
And he showed up, like, over the weekends and had been, like, an assistant coach at Little League Baseball and stuff in this town.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You told me this before?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that at all. Too much to remember. I was trying to explain all this stuff. You know, they knew nothing
about
him.
But he was the kind of guy that, you know, if you're curious what kind of guy he is, which I think most people know, he is a guy who shows up for Little League Baseball and doesn't just show up to coach third base. He puts on the Little League uniform like the coach.
Okay.
And puts on the hat.
Yeah, not surprising.
Right. And cleats. Like, let's go.
Right.
I'm like, man, they're nine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I was explaining, I said...
Be a stalwart, son. That's what he says. Be a stalwart.
I said, he seems like a super nice guy. He's really odd.
Really odd.
Weird. And they were like, well, what makes him weird? And I was like, oh, boy, where do I begin? I just started... I was like, I told him he used to not eat chicken because it was a nervous bird. He might have told his players to avoid eating chicken because it was a nervous bird. Changed his mind about that during COVID. And they're like, whoa. Wait a second. He's like, you're just going to have to go with me here. I said, he gets in the, apparently new thing is that he gets in the ice baths after the games because I think it was Bosa that was talking about that. Yeah, with his clothes on and his khakis, the whole deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, I could go on for a while and I explained he's got a brother and like, so, you know, he's, who's weirder? And I said, from what I can tell, his brother doesn't seem weird at all.
His brother never talks about getting in an ice bath with his clothes on.
Nope, just seems
or not eating chicken.
Seems like an NFL coach from Hollywood is what he seems
right,
like.
Yeah.
Speaking of which.
And all he likes is football. Like, if you talk to him, that's all he wants. He'll just, that's all he like.
I'm sure that's a lot of those
guys. He has said that, I think it's not hard to get to talk to him about it if you love football.
Yeah.
And I've even heard him say, like, on TV and stuff, like, I like guys who like football.
Yeah.
If you don't like football, then we probably don't have anything in common.
He
said his wife always gets mad at him because they'll have friends who aren't that into football. And he's like, all I do is try to get him to like football. He's a football 100%, 100.
When he got the job in, well, L.A., I still have a hard time with that. When he got the job, he moved there in his motorhome.
He did.
And parked it. In the pictures that you showed me, it looked like he parked it
on the beach.
In a parking lot on the beach.
Yeah, in an RV place on the beach.
That's just where he was living. And
he said he'd always wanted to do it because he loved the Rockford Files, and that's where Jim Rockford lived.
I forgot to tell them that part.
Yeah, so he wanted to live like Jim Rockford, and while his kids were finishing school with his wife, then he could live on the beach in a motorhome like the guy from the Rockford Files.
And it was like, was his defensive coordinator with him, or he brought offensive coordinator?
Yeah,
okay.
And he lived next to him.
I assume by now they probably have gotten a house, but
probably.
I really don't know. But I thought yesterday there was a while watching that Chiefs game, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But yeah. I thought, you know what, Laszlo's gonna, he might have this one. Of course, the Chiefs do that to me a lot.
Yeah.
But I thought you had said. I felt like you had hedged your bets a little bit by saying, well, I'm not saying that the Chargers are going to be ready this year. They've got...
No, I don't think it takes a while to get all the players that he wants. But,
if
you're a Chiefs fan, look, the Chiefs were better and they won, but you saw the blueprint of what he's putting together.
That's
what you saw. You saw, okay, he had some players hurt. I'm not saying that that matters because the Chiefs had players hurt. That none of that matters. But you saw the blueprint of what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And whether that works or not will be, you know... Who knows? But that is what he's going to build in the next 2 to 3 years.
And it was working there.
Yeah.
You know, of course, every time you think, well, maybe this is the time. You've been
it all
long,
came down to that fourth and one. He didn't get it.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I heard some stat. Dude, what was that stat about Mahomes?
But I thought he got the first down before that. I thought he should have challenged that.
It looked close.
I didn't think anybody touched him.
I still don't understand why they don't have the sensors in the ball that tells you exactly where it is on the field.
Been whether that guy touched him or not.
Oh, that's right. Whether or not. Okay. Yeah. But that doesn't change the fact that I still want to see the sensors in the balls. They'd said, we had talked about that, and then they'd said at some point in one of the off seasons that they were going to try testing that out. Do you remember?
Right.
And then I heard nothing about it since then. So I guess, I don't know, maybe they're worried that people don't want too much technology in the officiating and games, which I kind of understand. You know, you want
the
to get
correct
it right,
spot of the ball, though, would be pretty good.
That just seems like one of those things.
Especially
though,
if they just used
play.
It. I mean, because they do go back and review it.
Yeah.
You can look at it. So, to me, that would be an easy thing to do because there's so many times on those fourth and ones where you just can't see the ball.
Well, and just think over the course of one game, not a season, but over the course of one game.
I just don't know. Could it be that accurate within an inch?
Well, it should be able to.
I don't know.
If they've got sensors around the outside and then inside the ball, right? If they've got
sensors around the ex-wife thought I was going to somebody's apartment every day, and I was really just going to buy cigarettes.
So satellites and space. I'm just thinking something a little closer.
About 500 yards off, which is a real problem. A real problem.
Time to pass the collection plate.
Give with a joyful heart, and you will be blessed.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
Yo!
Yo!
All right, lots of football to talk about.
Absolutely, and I'm curious what your biggest, well, I guess as always on a Monday, what your biggest takeaways of the entire weekend are. But yesterday's Chiefs game was one of those that, there's no such thing as like a Chiefs game that doesn't matter when you have Mahomes, and especially when there's all this talk about, I don't like saying it out loud, but you know what everybody keeps talking about.
Three-peat?
Yeah, you can say it. That's fine. But, you know, it's like I see somebody put up billboards. And it's just, you know, it's like, I don't know, guys. But does that annoy you as a Lions fan, by the way? Or just as a football fan? Seeing all that talk about.
No, I think it motivates, it'll motivate people to beat them or try to beat them. But I think it motivates them, too, to try to be the first team to do it. So,
and
they put themselves in a position to do it. And that's pretty amazing.
It used to be that there were games, sometimes more than others, but it used to be there were games throughout the season where I go, okay, I don't need to sit and watch this from beginning to end because I have stuff I need to do. I'll listen to it on the radio, and then I'll watch the rest of it on TV. You know, I can go back and forth, get some things done, which this game would have normally been one of those, and I had stuff I needed to do. I was trying to get stuff done. But I was like, you know what, I can't not watch them. And then, of course, the way it started. But I would say the big thing, I know Kelsey had a good game, so maybe that was the big takeaway. But at least for fans, anyone who's been fans of the Chiefs for at least more than a few seasons, I think there was another big takeaway from yesterday's game.
Besides the injury?
Well, besides the injury.
Okay, well, I don't know it then.
Because I'll be honest, I didn't know that it was happening. So I was totally surprised when it happened, and I still nothing.
Oh, Travis Kelce?
No.
Passing Tony Gonzalez?
No. Although that's quite a feat.
Pat Mahomes having the most wins in 100 games?
Nope. It wasn't that either.
Well, then I do not know. That really? Taylor Swift didn't show up.
Is that 2 weeks in a row?
It is.
Yeah. So, yeah, that would be...
And it's like
that,
a day after the contract was supposed to expire. Yeah.
And he had a look, you know? I don't know, something at the end of the game when he took his helmet off. I was like, So, that was it, the Taylor Swift.
It was?
No, I'm just kidding. We'll talk about it next.
It does take some getting used to.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, everybody just calm down.
On 98.9 The Rock.
What's going on?
Well...
Man, what was your big takeaway from the Chiefs game?
The exciting thing was Kareem Hunt.
Oh, being back, yeah.
Yes. I
thought when the announcer said on camera he assaulted a woman. Okay, that's true. That video needs a little bit more nuance than just that. Because the way they said it, it made it sound like, and I know people are going to get mad at me, but they made it sound like it sounds automatically like it's a Ray Rice situation. And I did not think the Kareem Hunt thing was a Ray Rice situation.
Nor did
I. People can get mad at me if you want, but I did not know.
And it obviously, you can't do that. But
it was like, people like he kicked her, but he didn't really. I mean,
seems like there's more to the story.
Yes, and a lot more to the story and nuance. He didn't.
That might change.
He didn't like kick her like he was, you know, Ric Flair kicking Bret Hart. That wasn't it.
Right.
He kicked her kind of the way I do my cat when I tell it to get off the goddamn stairs.
And
trying to trip me.
Supposedly, when you hear the whole story,
just like, you know, just put it out there. And I just kind of, in that moment, whatever. I mean, you know, he shouldn't have done it.
He should not have done it.
And he's, you know, there's video and all that stuff. But it's just kind of like, man, this is this guy's return, and here it is.
Right
off the bat. But, okay. But, you know. That's just something he did. Let that be a lesson to everybody, man. You can't, no matter what it looks like or what happened or how it is, people are watching you, there's cameras, and that's going to stay with him. It doesn't matter what else he does for the rest of his life.
Right.
That's going to be within the first 10 comments of Kareem Hunt. That's what it's going to be, whether he deserves that or not. You make up your mind for yourself. I'm not going to argue with you. You make up your mind. If you think he deserves it, that's fine. If you don't think he deserves it, that's fine. But just know, put in that situation, people will not talk about Kareem Hunt and say 10 sentences before that's brought up.
Nope, it's part of who he is. You're absolutely right. And, right. I mean, do you remember how good he was?
Great.
For playing for the Chiefs at that time, when that incident happened, it looked like he was going to be one of the all-time greats, potentially. Of course, at that point, everyone was on cloud nine because the entire team was just... astonishingly exciting, right? Yeah. Mahomes and Hill and Hunt.
He carried a big workload for that, though. You know?
Yeah, and he was, you know, it's like, man, they're not really lacking for much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he left, I'm not saying that, and I didn't follow him too closely, although I did kind of keep an eye on him, like when he went to Cleveland. And he, you know, of course, Chubb was there when he first got there.
Yeah, and they carries. They were both pretty good.
There was just something that I was like, man. I thought he might get the... I don't know. Maybe he wasn't as good in Kansas City as I thought he was. Maybe it was just because I was a fan. But watching him after that, I felt like he wasn't all there. And you saw the video of him getting pulled over. I don't remember if you remember the body cam video. And when that cop was talking to him, like, hey, man, what's in the duffel bag? He just seemed like a guy who was demoralized.
Yeah.
Who had made some bad decisions and had basically had it all. One of those stories. Had it all and then had to watch... from the sidelines afterwards. And there was a lot of talk that he and Mahomes were really close at that time, that they were really good friends, that they were all getting along really well, that they were all hanging out. And so you just wondered, could he be better now because he's back with Mahomes and in that Chiefs jersey?
Well, he was done in Cleveland, that's for sure.
Right.
I mean, he was done.
And so a lot of people, I think, probably just thought,
he's played a long time for a running back.
Exactly.
You
That's
know, like
thing.
They don't play that long.
He's been in the league now.
But
a while.
He's had, you know, there's something about having that year off or whatever it's been. Not getting as many carries where, like, you know, he can come back fresh. He looked good.
I mean, his first carry, I think, was for like 9 yards or whatever. So it's
he
not
looked
like,
to be honest, vintage Kareem Hunt, where you didn't necessarily expect him to break away for a 90-yard run, but.
No.
If you need a four, he's going to get you four. You know,
That's
I would say
exactly
this.
Right.
If you need. I like those running backs in the saying being, if you need four, I'll get you five.
Yeah.
If you need six, I'll get you five.
Yeah.
I'll get you five, you know, that's it. And so he's that guy, you know. He's certainly, you know, I don't think he's Pacheco good, but
No. He
certainly can have, and then, you know, I hate to see Carson Steele fumble the ball like that, but.
I know, right there.
You know, but so what? I don't know. I don't think they should be so hard on him.
Well, did that happen? Did he fumble? And then they gave him the ball again last week or a couple weeks ago, right? And so I don't know. It does look like the way he's holding the ball. Well, look at how he holds the ball compared to how Hunt holds the ball.
Yeah.
It's just a totally different thing. So. We can sit there and armchair quarterback all we want, but I see those guys and I go, hold on to it tighter when you're running. You've already had a problem dropping the ball.
I'm sure he's been coached to do it the right way.
Yeah, and they're trying to strip the ball from you every time. I know you noticed because you've been playing since you were a kid.
That is something like if you get, and people know this because, so I'm just reiterating, it's almost like, you know, is it harder to throw when the ball's wet? But if you're a defensive coordinator in a defense and you're like, that dude fumbled the ball and his team is worried about him fumbling the ball, which means he's worried about fumbling the ball, punch that goddamn ball. Get the ball. You may not do that. So you try to punch the ball, but that may not be top of mind against, like, Derrick Henry or Isaiah Pacheco because you're like, you got to tackle this dude.
Yeah.
You're not talking about it. I guarantee if they're like, if they say, you know, hey, when Carson Steele gets the ball, start stripping it. Now you're into this thing where you're scared. The defense knows you're scared. They're trying to strip it more than they would against anybody else, and now here we are.
Here we are. Well, anyhow, I'm with you. I'm not saying that Kareem's going to be as good as Pacheco or be like Henry or something, you know, but I kind of thought that he was probably done. And I thought, well, you know, they got to give him a shot. Pacheco's hurt, and so here he is. And I know that, I think, did they say Allaire will be eligible this coming week? I think that's what they said yesterday. So who knows how much we'll see of Hunt. But I did think it was kind of cool. And, you know, you said the thing about how they talked about the assault on TV. I kind of thought the same thing. But then I thought, well,
it happened.
What he did was wrong. And it did happen. So I shouldn't be.
Did he get charged with that?
To defend him. Like legally charged? I don't know. I don't remember if there were any charges. Obviously, the team decided it was bad enough. I felt like they made a decision pretty quickly at that time, and I felt like that was because there had already been some criticisms about other things going on with the team, and it just felt like...
Well, we were also in the midst of the Me Too still going and on. Everything
it's
else.
It's crazy how long ago it was. It doesn't seem like it, but when you go back and look, you're like, no, it's been a while. So the Chiefs stay undefeated.
And Clyde Edwards-Helaire can come back.
Right. So we'll see. You know, maybe, like I said, maybe he'll get most of the carries, and it'll be him and Sue. We won't see Hunt as much, or maybe we'll see all three. I don't know. The game last night, though, Baltimore, after 2 weeks, everyone was saying Baltimore basically, well, I guess they're not even going to be a playoff team this year, which is always dumb. It's 2 weeks in. That loss to the Raiders was ridiculous and ugly. But we knew that they're a good team. Like,
they have good players.
They have good players. But they looked real good yesterday. I did not expect them. If you told me they were going to beat Buffalo, that's fine. I'd buy that. But not like that.
Just beat them down.
I mean, their defense looked amazing.
And that looked like a coach who just went back and said, grabbed that team in the locker room and said, everything's different.
Yeah.
You need to go back to being tough guys.
Yeah.
Because you're not being, you're like, when you lose the Raiders, you're not tough. You're not tough. What are you doing? You're weak. You're weak.
Yeah.
You're soft.
This is not
and
who
you,
we are.
You saw them come out and the way Derrick Henry ran.
That 80s.
The way that defense played, man.
He's still fast, too.
Their defense
it's crazy.
Insane.
They just look so good. Josh Allen looked like he was running for his life. So, you know, now it's one game, but now you go, oh, okay, well, wait. We thought Buffalo was the other great team in the AFC. That would be the team to beat, as they have been in the past. But now you're thinking, well, maybe it could end up being Baltimore. If you had to pick, predict your AFC championship game.
Well, I pick Baltimore-Detroit in the Super Bowl.
For your AFC championship game.
Yeah, and I would pick Baltimore-Kansas City. That's right. I'd still keep it there. I think it's a rematch of all four teams.
In KC or in Baltimore?
In KC now.
Okay.
I would have thought in Baltimore before, which probably makes me change my pick a little bit.
Right.
To Kansas City.
I mean, but also you would say that that game last night doesn't mean that Buffalo is bad, or does it? It doesn't mean that they're bad.
It doesn't mean they're bad. They
all
got good
that
players.
Talk going into the game, which happens a lot, that they were the team could maybe this is the year. You know, the Chiefs are going to have a tough time with Buffalo. And I'm thinking, well, you know, the Chiefs did beat Baltimore, but of course it was the first game of the season. So then everyone goes, well, then Baltimore lost in week two, so maybe Baltimore is just no good.
Right.
The bottom line is the Chiefs continue to win, and they will lose some games. But the thing about Mahomes is he seems to have the same formula
like
every
people
year.
People get so upset. It's like, are they as good as we've ever seen them? No. But people get so upset about teams like, and I just use Michigan, so I'm a Michigan fan, they're 4-1. And people are so down on them because of what it looks like. My thing is, like, the Chiefs have no other option but to get better.
Yeah.
They're going to continue to get better. Why? Because they're going to practice.
Yeah.
They're going to practice and play games. So this isn't the final version of any of these teams yet that you're watching. Right? Yeah. They're all going to get better. All these teams are going to get better and learn what they're good at, learn what they're bad at. Some of them, the players will get hurt, right? Like, all these things will happen. But if you can do it and win, some teams are getting better when they're 1-3. That's bad.
Yeah.
When you're 4-0 and like, all right, let's get, but look, we did not look good, but we got the win. Well, now we're getting better. We're always going to get better. Like, if you can win when you're not your best, to me, that's the difference between people who win the Super Bowl and people who don't win the Super Bowl. And that's why I think the Chiefs will probably win it now.
Well, that's what Patrick said after the game. He's like, you know, look, each week we have to find a new way to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to do well in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
We have to adapt.
Absolutely.
And find a new way to win.
Yeah. And they're able to go back and look at all that tape and say, this is what we did wrong. Let's work on it this week. So now you're going to get better at it. Okay, this is what we're then next week. Then sooner or later, you're just going to get better.
Yeah.
So, and well, like I said, the other teams are going to get better, but those other teams are getting better while they're 2-2.
Yeah.
Those other teams are getting better by their 1-3. Like, okay, this team's getting better and it's 4-0.
And the talk about Kelce, I felt like we can now. That was so dumb to begin with, but I think it was a lot of people who just maybe. Maybe they're new fans, or maybe they're woe-is-me fans.
I think people want him to fail.
I think some of them do.
People want him to fail, and they want it to be true that Taylor Swift ruined his career.
It's like people who want Brady to fail.
And it's just, you know,
yep.
It's just not true. Like, you know, people are saying, oh, he's getting a divorce. Brady will never win. Like, people want guys and people to fail.
All joking.
We hate it when our friends become successful.
Yeah.
And so watching him, you know, be on planes and go to Brazil and date Taylor Swift and be in the show, you're like, God, I hate that guy. And then he has some games where he's not what he is. You're like, that's why he didn't put in the work in the offseason.
Because of that
right.
FX show.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're
like,
and it's
okay.
Like, no, yeah. He'll be fine.
Yeah. And he is.
Yeah,
he's fine.
The Church of Laszlo.
The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9, The Rock. The Rock.
Yo!
We're going to do the news coming up here in just a little bit, my man.
What about baseball, huh?
Yeah, what about
it's my favorite time of the year, man.
I know it is.
Playoff baseball. It's unbelievable.
So?
6-3, Mets.
Give me the update. What's going on? Who looks good?
Well, you know.
Who looks bad? What's changed in the last couple weeks?
Nothing. You know.
How are the Tigers?
Tigers got the Astros.
So what's that mean?
I mean, Astros are always good. You know, you hate to go in there. And, you know, I think the Royals can beat the Orioles for sure. I don't think the Orioles are that great. I think the Royals can beat them. I'm a little worried about the Tigers beating the Astros, but whatever.
You know, good run
I think
there.
Then you're looking at, you know. But, I mean, they can. It's a 3-game series.
Yeah.
So let it go. You know what I mean? And the Tigers have the best pitcher in baseball. So if he can do what he does, then that's one game. Now we just got to figure out how to win one more. That's it.
Man, it was so awesome.
And that's the same thing with, I think the Royals have two really good pitchers, two of the top five in baseball right now. So if you can win two of those games, because those two guys win, that's all you need, is Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo to win games. Then you're on to the Yankees.
It would be so awesome.
Having the Yankees come here.
And just play some playoff baseball. It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been 9 years, right?
Yeah, which I guess isn't that long compared to when I when it happened last. I was like, holy crap, I didn't think this ever happened here.
Right.
It was like the first time in my lifetime, but it still feels like a long time. Well, you can't complain because the Chiefs have been so good, but it would be awesome for both teams to have great seasons. The news. We're going to talk about the news coming up. There is stuff going on outside of sports. I don't know why anybody would care, but there is. We did lose a legend over the weekend, a true legend. I'm sure you guys heard about this, and I'm sure you guys...
Dikembe Mutombo?
No, I think you guys actually...
Dikembe Mutombo,
that was, yeah, that was recent, like today or something, or last night.
This is...
different person.
That was him.
The finger wag.
Yeah.
This is someone that I think everybody knows, and everybody... you don't have to love him, but there's no one who's like, I hate that guy. I don't think...
Dikembe Mutombo.
Well, no,
I had
maybe
no
you're
idea
right.
He was still alive.
You didn't know he was still alive?
Dikembe Mutombo?
No, the
he's
one he's talking about.
The one I'm talking about.
You're not talking about Dikembe Mutombo?
No, but he's dead.
Well, who could die the more important than Dikembe Mutombo?
Well, I'll tell you, along with other news, I have some news about the Hawk-Tua girl, too. Hopefully that'll get your attention. We'll do the news coming up next.
I'm going to go to that Cam Soto.
Don't do that. She's not on there.
The Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo.
On 98.9 The Rock. KQRC Leavenworth, Kansas City's rock station. Always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yo.
Yo.
All right, let's doom scroll, you big, lanky son of a bitch.
All right, well, probably the biggest
story. Did you know today is National Kratom Day?
No, I didn't. I saw it was National Coffee Day.
I think it was National Kratom Day.
It's usually more than one thing at a time.
Well, congratulations.
Well, there you go. National Kratom Day. To everyone out there.
Yeah, it is. 30th of September.
Here's to us.
There you go.
I think the biggest story outside of it being National Kratom Day is probably over the weekend just the news about the hurricane and how much damage it did. The death count continues to climb. Last I heard it was officially at 90-some, but... There's a few people that are unaccounted for.
There's a picture of a kid in his dorm room in Appalachian State. Did you see
that? Where he's in the floater.
He's in a floaty. Yeah. He's sitting in his apartment. I guess it was an apartment or a dorm room.
Yeah. People were saying like, hey, you know, you don't want to do that. You could get really, really sick being in that water. But people do it. Like, what else are you going to do? Sorry he didn't have a John boat in his dorm room or wherever he was, but he's trying to make the most of it. Well, you know, I don't know if it matters. Like, when we had landlines, were the telephones more likely to work? Or less likely to work for a storm like this because they've lost phones. And that's the problem, one of the big problems. Is that people can't get a hold of their loved ones to find out whether or not they're okay. Yeah, I guess so. And, of course, those people then also can't call for help to alert authorities where they are. So, you know, it's all bad. You've got no power. You've got no
I feel like you'll be able to put up a cell phone tower quicker than they could go run some of those pole wires again, but
right. I mean, some of the telephone cables were a lot of them running above ground, right?
For years and years.
So
they still are in a lot of places.
I heard someone saying like that's the problem with cell phones.
Are they above ground at your place?
That's the problem with cell phones. Probably the electricity is
right.
So if anyone still has phone lines, I would think they're still running up there in the same thing. I can't imagine that they came and buried them. But I heard someone this morning saying, "Well, that's one of the problems with cell phones," and I thought. What am I missing? What's different about cell phones? I think
it wasn't like the phone lines didn't go out
right
in the 90s. The phone lines went out during a storm.
Absolutely. And maybe not always. Sometimes the power could go out and you still have phones. I get that. Yeah. But when the power goes out now, you still have a cell phone. So I would think that actually cell phones are probably less likely to go out. You've got a phone that's battery operated. It's not tethered to the wall in any way, shape, or form. Doesn't need the receiver to work. It doesn't need electricity other than the battery that's in it. I think it'd be safer. But anyhow, one of the big problems is that they can't get a hold of people. So there's a lot of people still unaccounted for and a lot of places that are just underwater or that were underwater and now they're under a lot of mud and devastation.
This morning, the death toll climbing after Helene barreled through the southeast. The massive storm killing more than 91 people from Florida to Virginia. In Buncombe County, North Carolina, at least 30 people declared dead, dozens more unaccounted for. Members of the National Guard and relief teams from 19 states joining the search and rescue missions. In Asheville, many residents growing desperate. Cell service and potable water out for days.
This is apocalyptic, not just for Canton, but the entire region.
Okay, I saw these different organizations that do good things, and they're collecting supplies for people. And one of the main things that they were collecting was paper towels. I mean, so many paper towels. And then it reminded me of the time that Trump went and threw paper towels at. That's what I was going to ask. What do you do with the paper towels with the flood? What do they need them for?
I don't know.
Again, I thought maybe you'd go, it's for this, dumbass.
No idea.
Huh. Because they had a lot of paper towels on that table. People donating lots and lots.
Like I said, I've been through two hurricanes and lived there. I remember the big thing people dropping off and me thinking, oh, yeah, I need this, was bottled water.
That makes sense. I saw
like
the
I need
the
something
packs
to drink, and then I can, you know, wash my face with it.
Yeah.
Like that, I, you know, cases of bottled water were, you know, pretty awesome.
Makes perfect sense.
At least for the first couple of days, because after that, like, it's pretty quick, man. I will say, and I don't know how bad it, but, you know, when I was in Hugo, that was pretty bad, but it wasn't like, man, it was within 24 hours, places that, at least 48, maybe, it, you know, gas stations that weren't damaged were back up and running.
Yeah.
You know, there's places, like, some of them took months, maybe years, or never got their business back off the ground. But, you know, you might have to drive, you know, 15 minutes, but then, cool. There's a grocery store that has power, they have a generator, and you can go in and buy stuff. But, you know, that was only a couple days, you know. You just needed that bottled water for 24 hours or something. Plus, you know, most of the time, you know, I think for us, we didn't. I remember thinking we need the bottled water, but I live in an apartment, and we bought a couple cases of it beforehand.
Well, that's,
you know, and so most people have it anyway, yeah. You know what I mean?
Getting prepared.
And I didn't really understand why they boiled it, but whatever, I don't know.
They boiled the bottled water?
Well, no, I think what they did was, yeah, I don't know what they did. They boiled water for some reason, and I remember they kept telling us to boil water, like, yeah. Boil the tap water?
Yeah.
After it, the hurricane?
Yeah, they'll do boil advisories because stuff.
The pipes or something?
Well, something. Know. Water runoff gets in during floods. I don't exactly know, but we've had boil advisories here before in certain neighborhoods will say, hey, there's a boil advisory because right. Something.
I would just use bottled water, so I didn't really understand.
I would say, I think probably in my lifetime, it's been Katrina that was the most devastating hurricane that I've ever seen, like the most coverage and just to completely wipe out a city the size of New Orleans. After that, I was trying to think what was the second worst hurricane. I remember Andrew. Do you remember Hurricane Andrew
of
in
course,
the 90s?
Miami.
That seemed like a big one at the time, but maybe right. Just because I was young and impressionable. But the fact that this one spanned like six different states and the way that storm looked hovering over Georgia, just over mm-hmm. The middle of Georgia, I just don't remember ever seeing anything like that. And so
I think Andrew was bad.
Andrew, I was thinking, was really bad.
Yeah, you could probably say worst hurricanes to hit
North America.
Katrina's got to be.
Katrina would have to be the worst. And again, like modern ones, the ones that we would have been alive for in the last 40 years, something like that. But this one just seems like it covered such a wide area. And you see these different jurisdictions. Like, what was one I was just reading? It was just one place in North Carolina that said they had something like 600 missing people reports that had been called in. And I'm thinking, God, that's just one part of one of the Carolinas. So, anyway, yeah, that's bad. Glad I don't live there. We should probably be doing something to help them, but we won't there's other people that do nice things.
Cost
and we always just leave it to them.
Billions.
Is that how they're tallying it, by the amount of
damage in billions? Katrina, then Harvey.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Harvey
yeah.
Was bad.
Well, anytime, yeah, that
Harvey
was a bad
was
one.
Texas.
Yeah,
right?
That was
like
really
Galveston.
Bad. Mm-hmm. And like, part wasn't Houston kind of flooded? And
yeah, I think Houston,
I think that was the first time I'd really seen that too.
Yeah.
Ian, which one's that? I remember the name Ian. What was the one in Jersey with Chris Christie and Obama?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
is that
yeah.
Sandy?
Sandy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that bad or was it just again unusual because I wasn't used to seeing hurricanes
that
wipe out stuff
north.
Like that?
Yeah. I think it was pretty bad.
The one in Texas was bad. That was bad. I remember seeing those images and seeing
yeah,
the streets
Harvey was
of
really bad.
Houston flooded. I didn't know
Maria,
that was a thing.
Irma,
I don't really remember.
Ida.
Wow, so Andrew's not even on there, huh?
Sandy, Ike, Andrew.
There it is.
There you go.
I wonder why that one stood out to me. Well, what caused the flooding in Kansas City in 93? Was that just some sort of something we would call like an El Nino now or what? Because it flooded. I mean, that was a terrible flood, and then it just hasn't flooded since then. I remember my brother going out there to fill sandbags. I remember seeing what it looked like and seeing that entire area underwater.
Yeah, when I lived in River Market, there was signs and stuff everywhere about
yeah,
how
this is where the water line was. It was crazy. And I remember asking my dad at the time, he's like, well, there's, you know, they're by the river, and sometimes rivers flood. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, this happens sometimes. But when you see those reminders at those different
right.
restaurants and buildings, you go, that was a long time ago, and I don't think, maybe they've right. improved how they keep water out, too. I don't know anything about that stuff. Wasn't that part of the problem with New Orleans, is that the levees
were
bad?
When the levees break?
Yeah. Yeah, when the levees break. And Bush said the levees will hold, right? Yeah. Some famous last words I remember saying, like, we think the levees will hold on them.
But Robert Plant said, no, the levees will break.
He said,
boom.
That was it. Always listen to Robert Plant over a politician.
Always.
Chris Christopherson.
Oh, yeah, he died. He's a legend.
He's a legend. Come on. He's an actor, a singer. He was in A Star Is Born, which I think was actually, they said, the remake, the first remake, maybe. But, you know, what was the recent one? Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga,
right.
And Chris Christopherson played a rock star in that one. I think he played a rock star, which is weird because in the new Star Is Born, wasn't Bradley Cooper playing a country star? Mm-hmm. I don't know what the original one was, but Chris Christopherson, famous country singer, became a pretty famous actor. What's your favorite project of his?
Highwayman?
Yeah, me too. I would have to go with Highwayman. But the guy was a hell of a talent. You didn't know he was still alive?
I had no
idea. He was like the last one, man. Well, yeah, I guess Willie Nelson is it.
Singer, songwriter, and renowned actor, Chris Christopherson was a country music legend whose career spanned more than 50 years.
Freedom's just another word.
Some of the biggest names in music, from Elvis Presley to the Grateful Dead, recorded his songs. And the 1972 hit Help Me Make It Through the Night, covered by Sammy Smith and later Gladys Knight, became a number one country and top 10 pop hit, earning Christopherson a Grammy.
You can't quit.
Watch me.
He wasn't just known for his music. Christopherson was also an accomplished actor.
Pack your bags. I'll take you to Monterey.
And in 1976, won a Golden Globe, starring opposite Barbara Streisand in the remake of A Star Is Born.
We're coming closer, lady. Don't you leave me now.
Yeah, he's like a rock star, right? Willie Nelson's 91, man. Have you guys seen Willie Nelson live before?
Oh, yeah.
I have.
You have?
Saw him open for Dylan.
Well, I can't decide if I should say that I've seen him live or admit that. I went to his ranch, but I never saw him perform. So.
Oh, I was there with you, wasn't I?
You went a different time.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to go to his... I think he was launching his weed brand or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he was up there with... I don't know what they were doing up there, but if he sang, I wasn't there for it. So I don't think I've ever seen him live in... I mean, look, maybe he'll keep touring. I don't know, but I never saw Chris Christopherson. Did you guys ever see Johnny Cash?
No.
I don't think I did either. I saw George Jones. Isn't that his name?
Yeah.
My dad loved country. My brother loves country. And some of that stuff, you know, not a lot, but some of that stuff did rub off. And you're like, okay, this stuff's pretty good. And, of course, Willie Nelson, Chris Christopherson, the Highwayman, I mean.
Of course.
They were pretty cool. Johnny Cash, everybody likes, right?
Of course.
And wasn't Johnny Cash...
Well, I mean, he wrote crazy songs. You know, Sunday Morning Coming Down, that... Johnny Cash, but Chris Christopherson wrote that.
Yes, that was his, I think, maybe
Me
the biggest.
And Bobby McGee, he wrote that.
She had a hit with
right.
that. Those are the
Lord,
two.
Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?
Oh, that was him?
That.
Okay, okay.
The songs that he's written that you know.
Yeah, because Johnny Cash was like his mentor.
He's responsible for Janis Joplin, pretty much.
Was that her biggest song?
Oh, yeah.
Was it? I don't know much about her.
I think so.
The thought of like being locked in a closet being forced to listen to Janis Joplin sounds bad.
Well, Me and Bobby McGee's a good song.
You
don't like it at all?
I don't. I don't know what it is, but I don't like it.
Yeah, they really get paid for this.
You believe this shit?
The Church of Laszlo.
Amen, brother.
98.9 The Rock.
Hi.
We're finishing the news. Okay. Hey, remember that guy, not the first guy, but the second guy that tried to kill Trump, allegedly? At least brought a rifle to his golf course and then gave chase. Again, allegedly, I think. I don't know, maybe that's some of that stuff he's admitted to. He pleaded not guilty in front of a judge, and judge has said, not unlike Diddy, you're not going anywhere. You got to stay here. And the feds have shared some of their evidence. Now, they shared some of this stuff already, which we can get to. Like, did you guys read the letter that he left in the box? Okay, well, we'll get
breaking
that.
News. The suspect in the Florida assassination attempt on former President Trump has pleaded not guilty to all five federal charges. He's facing one count of attempting to assassinate a major presidential candidate, which carries a potential life sentence. He also faces three federal guns charges and one count of assaulting a federal officer.
Okay, so I would say the most interesting part of this so far is that this guy, Ryan Routh, allegedly handed a box over to. Originally, I had seen the news reporting it as a friend. He'd given this, handed over a box to a friend months ago. Now every article just says that he gave someone, an unidentified person, a box months ago. And that the person who received the box did not open it until after they saw Ryan in the news for this assassination attempt. Okay. Inside the box was some ammunition, a piece of metal pipe, a letter, and some other things. I guess they're not telling us everything that was in there, and they're not telling us everything that was in the letter. I think the letter may have been pages long, but we've only got one page of the letter. I know that the public defender who's defending this guy asked for more details about this letter, and the feds gave some but not all. So this is what the letter says. It's handwritten. And this is at least what part of it says. This was an assassination attempt on Donald Trump, but I failed you. I tried my best and gave it all the gumption I could muster.
Okay.
It is up to you now to finish the job, and I will offer $150,000 to whomever can complete the job. He goes on to say stuff like, everyone across the globe, from the youngest to the oldest, knows that Trump is unfit to be anything, much less a president. U.S. presidents must at bare minimum embody the moral fabric that is America and be kind, caring, and selfless and always stand for humanity. So those are parts of the letter that we've seen. Basically, if you're reading this, I failed you, world, and I'm sorry. Now it's your job to pick up where I fell short, and I'll pay the first person who does $150,000. Why? What's the metal pipe about? Like, what were these other things that were in the box? And when someone hands you a box and says, hey, will you hold on to this for me? Is it because they think that, like, you don't have room for it and you'll be coming back for it? And that's why you don't open it? Because if you come over to my house and just hand me a box, I'm going to take a look after you leave to be like, what is it? Why did he ask me to just hold this one thing? Why is there this box here? Now, maybe they'll come out and say that he was holding on to a bunch of stuff for this guy. But they make it sound like he gave this person this box and the person did not open the box until after they saw him in the news, and that's when they saw the letter that says, this was an assassination attempt, and I apologize that I failed. Well, how do you know that he failed, too? Like, was there a part of the letter that said, skip to page 3 if the president is dead? You know what I mean? And then it says, okay, I assassinated the president because, I really don't get it. Like, did he give this person instructions? Hey, don't only open this box if you see me in the news. I'm all over with the conspiracies again. Like, why would he hand this person the, and maybe he's just not mentally well. I'm sure. But it just seems odd that you give someone this box and then it says what you already know. This was an assassination attempt and I failed. Well, we know. Why would you tell me not to open the box and learn until after I see you in the news having tried to kill the president and failing? I don't know. I thought maybe you guys would say, well, this is probably what he was going for. Or maybe it's just because it's the cry for help. Like, hey,
Or maybe he was saying, don't open the box, and then, you know, you don't want to be an accomplice.
Maybe.
If you open the box before that, then they would have told you to stop me.
Well, that's the thing. Did he tell him not to open the box or being, you know, pretty secretive? But they have the letter, and so, of course, that's their evidence. And if I were a conspiracy theorist, I might think, boy, the Secret Service sure was embarrassed by that first assassination attempt. They really dropped the ball on that one. Let that kid get right up there on the roof real close to Trump with a gun set up there for a while. And then a month and a half later, wouldn't you know it, they catch another guy hiding. The Secret Service guy was going above and beyond doing their job, making sure they went a couple holes ahead on the golf course to make sure that the coast is clear before the president heads that way. And then they find this guy and they catch him, and he was this close to killing the president. Right. And they find his fingerprints on a piece of tape. And in case you needed more evidence, well, here's a box. We've got a box that he left at someone's house where he details the fact that he was going to try and kill the president. Anyhow, I don't think that anyone should try to take him up on that offer, no matter how you feel about Trump, because I don't know how he would pay it. I mean, I think the guy's going to be in prison for
$150,000 ain't enough.
That's not enough to kill anybody, let alone someone high profile.
The kind of trouble you would get into.
Yeah, forget about it. Hey, Purple Rain, you guys like that movie, right?
Love it.
Love it.
Me and Stockholm just watched it the other day together.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some say that it's the greatest movie of all time. Well, the Airbnb from Purple Rain, maybe play the song here in the background. Purple Rain, They're letting you Airbnb the house from Purple Rain.
What house?
Well, it says that it's the kid's house, that they've redone it. I'll show you pictures of it here. If you can
show
over
since
this.
I've seen it, I can't.
They're only going to do a limited number of nights, but it says Purple Rain, the greatest movie of all time. That is a fact. 40 years after the movie's release, we're bringing it back to life. Not only did we lock down the kids' unforgettable childhood home, but we also restored the interior to a new level of glory. The whole place is a full tribute to both the movie itself and that moment in time that launched Prince into the stratosphere. I just know you're a Prince fan, so I thought maybe you might be interested in being one of the lucky few who gets to stay in this house.
I'm good.
Sounds like you...
I'm good.
When you said what house, I was like, well, I guess he definitely...
Yeah, I'm not a huge Prince fan.
Isn't interested. Well, I know they did that Outsiders thing.
I'm a huge Outsiders fan.
You could do like
fan.
The museum tour of the Outsiders house,
yeah.
Right?
I and like you'd say
the Field of Dreams house.
I stayed the night at the Field of Dreams house.
That's right.
That's actually really cool. Because then you have like, you got to go after everyone else
right,
left
so
the tour and go play.
It's all open. And then if you pay to spend the night there... The lady, like, they locked the gate going in there, and the lady's like, here's where you turn on the lights, and it's this big thing, and you walk out there at night.
So you can do it at night.
Boom, and the lights come on, all
nice.
The cornfields are there. And then I happened to be there, and they were building the stadium next door to it for those games that they did there. That original Field of Dreams field is too small to play a Major League Baseball game on. So they built a stadium in those cornfields down from it, and the guy was there, and he drove up on like a golf cart, worked for like, I don't know, Fox or whoever was doing it, ESPN, and wanted to get some shots of the field while we were there and stuff, and then took us on his golf cart into the stadium while they were building it.
No way.
Yeah, showed us the dugout and the locker room and everything they were building. It was cool.
But the field that was in the movie, that really was on site where that house is, or were they in different places
the
and made
thing.
It look like it? I didn't
no,
know if that was
thing,
like a,
it's all right there.
So it's not
that's
a recreation.
Really
that actual field is there.
That field's
that
there.
House.
The house is there.
And the house looks
there.
The same in the pictures I saw.
Yeah, the lower level of the house... is exactly like the movie.
Okay.
So they didn't change anything. It's got a TV in there. It's got a VCR. It's got one videotape. That's Field of Dreams. And then, like, even, like, on, like... And I've gone back and watched that since then. Even, like, pictures on the wall are, like, Kevin Costner with mm-hmm. that family. Like, a family picture.
Wow.
It's all done. Then when you go upstairs... It's all redone and modern, and it's got, you know, where you can go sleep and watch TV and stuff.
So. I wonder if
did
they actually filmed it
while you're
in
there?
The house.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
it's
really
cool, right?
And do you stay with other people?
I think that's meta.
Yeah, it's
believe
well, the,
so.
Them having a copy of Field of Dreams
well, you
in the
watch
house,
Field
that's
of
pretty,
Dreams at Field of Dreams.
So the shots
that's
of, like,
meta.
When they're in the house, you're looking around
you're
like,
in
yep,
it, right,
that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That's
you could
crazy, man.
You get sucked into a black hole that way.
I think so.
That's what my dad said, at least. But
and they had like the... Oh, I almost stole it, but I was like, they'll know because I'm the only one here.
Mm-hmm.
But they had like those old, what, Sox jerseys?
Mm. Really? The ones
yeah,
that the
hanging up on the wall
dead
and stuff?
Dads
yeah.
were wearing?
Yep.
So is it supposed to be like they rent it out to multiple people at once, or you always get it to yourself if you pay to stay
you pay
there?
For yourself.
Okay.
So it's like a one-night hotel thing.
Worth it.
Well...
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the Outsiders thing, you just get to tour. I don't think you get to stay there. The Purple Rain thing, you can stay there, but I guess you're not interested in that, so...
That's not
as cool. I'll keep my eye out for any other... I remember the house from Christmas Story.
Yeah, you can
that's
rent that out. I'd like
times.
To do that.
Yeah, the issue with that was...
I'd like to do that
restore
for Christmas.
It, and yeah. I think the inside of it doesn't look anything like the... movie because they filmed
oh,
it on the soundstage,
really?
But then they were redoing some of it. Yeah, we interviewed one of the guys who bought
it. I don't
it.
Remember.
He's like, we're going to try and redo some of the inside to make it look like whatever, but I'll keep
well,
on.
I suggest
out.
Field of Dreams. It's okay. It's a fun night if you go do it.
More from the pulpit coming up. The Church of Laszlo.
Preach, brother!
On 98.9 The Rock.
Yo!
Yo! Snow Cone loves the story about the guy with the fake family. I don't
yeah.
see what the big deal is.
It cracks me up, man.
I mean, you know, you got to have, when you're running for office, your image is everything. And he's a family man at heart.
Yeah.
You know, he could have a family one day. I just think this it's family-ist, making fun of these single people, you know? It's like when the, what's that guy's name? J.D. Vance made fun of the old cat ladies.
Yeah.
Childless cat ladies, you know? And now we're making fun of this poor guy just because he doesn't have kids or a wife. I just,
Republican
I don't get it.
Candidate Eric Anderson, he borrowed this family to sit as his own wife and daughters for repeated photo ops, according to the New York Times. Anderson has shared photos of him posing with the wife and children of one of his friends to apparently appear
like they are his own family.
It's
the only guy I can find talking
about
it.
One image of them all around a dining table.
Anderson has not yet appeared to comment on these photos.
So just pictures of him with what looks like his family. One of them actually looks like they got together for a professional family photo. They're not all wearing matching shirts or anything, but I know, but like when you see those, when you go over to somebody's house and they've got the family photos where you know that the, that was
still
photo
looks like
day.
A family photo.
Yeah. And then there's somewhere, there's the one where he's sitting around the table with his family.
But it's not he doesn't have a family.
It's not his family. Well, I'm sure he has a family.
Well, what's crazy is they said in the Times article, he just posted, I think on Twitter or X or whatever, that he just got engaged to his girlfriend.
Is that how he got caught?
He posted pictures of her, and that's definitely not her.
I didn't understand if that was how he got caught.
And
they made it sound like it was.
On his website, like his about section said, he lives alone in this county with his Dalmatian Ranger.
Yeah, so see, you guys were just assuming. You just made a lot of assumptions because you saw pictures.
It.
I'm serious. So he never said that they were his family, that it was his wife and kids.
No, he didn't, but he let you believe that.
He even said on his website that he was engaged and he didn't have any kids. So we all just assumed the guy can't. Maybe his buddy's family, wife and kids, can we get in the picture with you? And he's like, sure. Maybe the buddy didn't want to be in the picture.
It's clearly intellectually dishonest.
Here's the response from him. A spokesperson for Anderson told the Times that Derek's opponent and every other candidate in America are in similar pictures and video with supporters of all kinds, adding that the content simply featured with female supporters and their kids.
Yeah, and then they bring him over to the house and put him in the dining room and sit at the dining room table together. Hey, you know, it's nice having this picture in the subdivision together with no one else around, but why don't we go inside the house and we'll sit around the dining room table? I can't believe that was his. Well, I mean, what else are you going
to
say?
He has to say
something. Right. And he can't actually say what I was saying.
Or like Crackman said, he's cocking on his buddy.
Could be. Yeah. Could be. But he can't say that. That's not going to help him.
Can't say that's my cuck family.
I don't think he can. Not, you know, maybe if he wanted to run as a Democrat, maybe he could. I don't know.
Time for a smoke break.
Fire it up.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
Hi.
Hey. So, did you see the big Diddy news over the weekend?
See it.
Remember, we laughed. You guys mocked that Jaguar, Wright? Was that her name?
Yeah.
Because
was that her name? Jaguar?
Yeah, Jaguar Wright, I think was her name.
That's it.
She went on TikTok, she did some sort of a TikTok interview, and she said that she monitors the dark net, and that she knows
the dark
that
web?
People were
Is it the dark
selling,
web or the dark net?
She called it something. Oh, I'll pull up her audio here if I can find it. But she said that she monitors it, whatever it is, and she knows that people were on there selling tapes of Diddy's freak-offs, and that the last one sold for $500 million. $500 million. She also said something about NFTs, which I didn't totally understand. Do you remember, Snowcone, what the NFTs were? Like,
He sold his twins, like his NFT.
Oh,
somehow.
Right. His daughters were involved somehow. Yeah. And that these tapes, you know, they're obviously worth a lot of money, $500 million. And she also said that there were celebrities in there. I know she mentioned Nicki Minaj. She mentioned Chris Brown, right?
Drake.
Rihanna, Drake. I think those were the big names that she mentioned. And people just laughed at this woman. Now, she's a singer. And I don't know how popular she is or was, but that's who she is. She's a singer, and I don't know what her connection exactly ever was to Diddy, but those were the allegations that she made, and somebody decided that it was worth asking her about and posting on TikTok, and it became news for a little bit. Well, then, over the weekend, maybe some of what she said might have had a little bit of merit to it, because now we've got a lawyer involved. This is the headline. Diddy's tapes show a celebrity more high profile than mogul, says lawyer. So somebody more famous than Diddy is in a tape that, or tapes, that this lawyer has supposedly been made aware of. It says, the tapes that Diddy allegedly kept from his freak-offs parties have reportedly been linked to a celebrity even more high-profile than Diddy himself. Ariel Mitchell-Kidd, a lawyer representing one of Sean Diddy Combs' accusers, revealed during an interview with News Nation that she was approached by someone attempting to sell a tape allegedly featuring Combs and an individual more high profile than Diddy. Mitchell Kidd stated that while Combs didn't appear to be an active participant in the video, the tape is real. Here's a quote. I've seen stills of the video, so you can verify that it exists, that it's real, she said, adding that it was pornographic in nature and filmed at one of Combs' former residences in Atlanta. The attorney also noted that it seemed like the person in the video was not aware that they were being recorded. I assume that means the celebrity, but maybe it means someone who's having sex.
Right? Does it give us any clue there?
Well, that's what I want. I need speculation.
Let me know those words again.
I need speculation. Just as the attorney also noted that it seems like the person in the video was not aware that they were being recorded. Mitchell Kidd is representing a woman who claims Combs sexually assaulted her in 2018. The lawsuit is expected to be filed within a week. As for the tape, Mitchell Kidd declined to reveal the identity of the high-profile individual featured, calling it a catch-and-kill situation.
Oh, I see.
So, think about it. If you had someone more high-profile than Diddy in one of these tapes, and it's not being sold, when Jaguar Wright said the stuff about these tapes being sold, we imagine that somebody who's horny is like, this would be a good sex
$500 million?
Tape. Well,
Ryan Reynolds?
If you're more high-profile than Diddy, then Diddy probably would have had $500 million, maybe. It would have been a lot.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but who's a billionaire
maybe
that can throw out $500 million for that tape?
Maybe a business person, a politician, someone from the royal family. There were some, you know?
Yeah, but that wouldn't surprise us.
Well, it would be.
I mean, if it was Andrew, I guess, we wouldn't be like, oh, wow, Andrew's had a Diddy. But we know that guy. He's like, I don't sweat. Like, oh, really? You do?
But
here's a video of you actually sweating, Sam.
If there's actual video, if they're going to release stills from a video, I guess they probably wouldn't, though, because I'm assuming that there must be people involved in these tapes that they're saying. This lawyer is saying that the person did not appear to know that they were being taped. I'm guessing she's talking about the celebrity.
Yeah, the list of people, though, it feels like, you know, if you really want to do it, a list of people who could come up with $500 million.
Yeah.
If that's the real number.
Right.
Who are going to buy it? I mean, you know, you narrow down a lot of people.
Yeah, well,
because it's just not billionaires,
right?
You got to have more than a billion to throw out half your wealth on that.
We should probably still take what Jaguar Wright said with quite a few grains of salt. But all I'm saying,
she said it, so I believe her.
All I'm saying is that now you have a lawyer who claims they've seen stills from a video and that there is a celebrity in this video who's more high profile than Diddy, and she's alluding to it being a catch and kill type situation. I mean, there's another politician that has been connected to catch and kill stories in the past. There's been quite a few celebrities. Well, again, the $500 million thing is something Jaguar Wright said.
Well,
I don't know that Jaguar Wright is necessarily accurate or that she's actually seen these things. But this lawyer, who would be quite a bit, I would think, quite a bit more reliable than Jaguar Wright, although I don't know that to be true, but this is a lawyer who's actually going to bring a case against Diddy in front of the courts, and this lawyer is saying, I've seen the stills from this video, and I'm not allowed to talk about who's in it because it's a catch and kill situation. I don't know what that means. Like, does that mean you'll get sued?
He's seen it,
right? How did you?
I don't understand. That's why I don't believe a lot of this stuff. Like, if you're the lawyer, why wouldn't you just be like, well, yeah, it's a catch and kill situation. But I saw it, so I saw it. This is what I saw.
Yeah. How did she see it? I don't know. Was she a part of? Is she?
Like, if somebody put out a story and me and you saw it, and they're like, no, it's a catch and kill. It's never going to be released. I'd be like, well, I saw it. So I don't care if it's not released or not. I saw Slim having sex with...
Right. She would have to be, like, somehow in on it or a part of it.
That Gray.
She would have had to have signed something that says,
why are you having sex with that? I saw you have sex with that Gray.
Yeah.
Force freak alien off.
I mean, what if it's like, saying more high profile, but without giving any other clues? Does that mean it's a musician? Could it be like a rap star? Could it be like a Kanye? Someone like that? A rapper who's even bigger than Diddy, who's more high profile than Diddy? I guess it really could be anybody, but I just wanted to know, because when I saw this story yesterday,
Taylor Swift.
Immediately, well, it could be anybody.
J-Lo.
Is she more? She's probably more high profile than Diddy, right?
I think.
I would think so. Like more of a... household name, at least. So I just want people to tell me who it is, because this lawyer ain't talking. And I was watching football, and I didn't really feel like scrolling through to find, all right, here's the thread that says, here's who it is. And
Twitch
here's
says you're a great, too, so nobody would be upset about it.
Well, yeah, that's very nice of you, Twitch. Just tell me who it is, Twitch. Tell me what the conspiracy theory is.
Frankie Lindor!
I know it's not necessarily accurate, but give me who people think it is and why they think it's that person, because now I'm dying to know. Now you've got a lawyer saying, no, there is a tape with a celebrity in it. It's a big celebrity, and they didn't know they were being filmed, and there's a whole catch and kill thing going on here. Well, who the hell is it? Who was partying with Diddy? A lot of people partied with Diddy. We know that. A lot of people. I mean,
well, you partied with Diddy once, but you said nothing happened. You went home early, is that it?
I did go home early, yes. But like, a lot of celebrities act like they didn't. I mean, now, of course, they're trying to downplay.
Some celebrities say they went home early.
Some of them, of course, they're going to say that now, right? But quite a few celebrities in the past talk about how crazy those Diddy parties got, and they're on tape saying those
it's
things.
Chris
so.
Christopherson.
Yeah, it could have been Chris Christopherson. Is he more high profile than Diddy? Maybe. I don't know. It doesn't have to be a musician, right? It could be a politician. Of course, the Andrew thing comes to mind with the royal family just because of that.
Wesley Snipes,
yeah. I need some sort of reason as to why people think this is the person. Whether you're trying to connect dots between other things that have been said by the likes of that Jaguar Wright lady or things that have actually been reported in the news, just tell me who you think it is.
Oh, man. Stupid Asso, A-S-S-O, that's not a cuss, don't worry about it, says he's seen it as Armie Hammer. He's just eating people.
Well,
can you imagine?
He's probably not more high profile, but he's certainly a celebrity.
He's got the money to pay for the tape.
But there were did they say that Justin Timberlake was at some of these? Was he one of the names that got thrown out there?
Bieber got brought up a lot.
There's been so many. Well, Bieber's been brought up as like a potential victim, right? Bieber and Usher. They talked about both of them because they were so young when Diddy started working with them. And so LeBron, all of a sudden it turned into that. And yeah, it could be an athlete. So LeBron, did LeBron get mentioned?
Yeah, he was in a video saying, ain't right, no party like a Diddy party or something.
And he was brought up with the Kanye thing. That was when, I don't know, was it Kanye who actually started that? When he said something about the Diddy party, there's been so many different accusations.
I know.
But Snow Cone, I need you to do your little thing where you get on
everyone's trying to figure it out.
Go down that rabbit hole. Find that conspiracy theory. I need one that where I go, ooh. You know what I mean? I don't need proof, although it would be great. I just need someone to explain it in a way, like you did with Kanye when you said years ago that it was all an act, and you gave your breakdown. It turned out it wasn't an act, right? But it was a good story, and it got a lot of people hooked. Look. You were on cable news because of that.
There's a tape was found by Page Six and then shared.
I did see something about tapes.
Those on the party list include Mariah Carey, Donald Trump, Chris Rock, Ben Stiller, Oprah, Joan Rivers.
Oprah? Partying with Diddy? What if this guy really was like Epstein and he was bringing all these celebrities around to try and have blackmail?
It's starting to seem like
that's
it.
That's how he made all
the
his
video
money.
Starts with Danny DeVito on a sofa under a blanket saying, that's right, Puff Daddy's having a party. And this is Puff Daddy inviting you to come. Let's have a ball.
Wait.
So that's Danny DeVito.
What video is this?
I
say Page Six.
Page Six is they saw the video, some video. The party cost Diddy over $600,000. Other celebrities featured on the list, but not the video, include Naomi Campbell, Martha Stewart, Mike Tyson, Mark Wahlberg, and Kevin Costner.
Oh, okay. Mark Wahlberg would be, that'd be scandalous for you, Lazlo.
This was celebrities inviting others to the party.
Okay.
So I guess
we don't even know that they're the same tapes. We could be talking about different videos. Who knows? But supposedly there's one
out
there.
Here's a video.
I'm with you, though. The whole catch and kill, if you've seen it and it's part of a catch and kill, you've already seen it, well, then why can't you say who it is? Unless you're going to represent this person, too.
Well,
like, is it a client
I
of yours,
like
too?
I feel like you've got to be careful with, what you put out there.
So maybe you're saying, Snow Cone, if the lawyer says, hey, I saw this tape and it has, Big Bird in it, okay? And then they say, oh, it does not. Big Bird comes out and says, it wasn't me. And then you say, no, I saw
because
it.
Are you accusing
now that it's being
Big Bird of now being part of this and, also doing terrible things?
Well, but also, if Big Bird says I was never at a party, this lawyer might not be able to prove it because it's being caught and killed.
Right.
So that's where the catch and kill part would come in.
Yeah, so don't say the person's name. I mean, I want him to, obviously.
Because the lawyer said I can't because it's part of a catch and kill. Maybe they're saying I can't prove it now if I were to say who it was and they deny it because the story's been...
He could be sued. His client could be sued, you know.
How did you see it? Yeah, so the client would have had to have been the one who probably brought it to them, right?
Right.
We're assuming
and now Big Bird's suing the client. So it's like, hey, you're saying that I did these horrible things and I didn't because knowing that you can't prove it.
Did you guys say it was Big Bird?
Well, just didn't want to. Everyone knows we're not being serious with Big Bird. I don't know.
I thought for a second.
We don't know who it is. We should say that. We don't know who it is. I just said Big Bird so it would be clear that we're just putting a name there. A big celebrity name that we don't actually know. Because Big Bird's
Big Bird went to a freak-off?
Most unlikely, probably, to be there. I don't even know. Big Bird's still alive.
What's the video did come out, and it's all those, you know, huge celebrities, and then Big Bird is there taking part.
I mean, it sounds like just about everybody went to these Diddy parties, so if people from Sesame Street showed up, I guess it wouldn't be
a Muppet.
That crazy. Yeah.
Miss Piggy was horny.
Yeah.
Always horny.
That'd be a big deal for Slim.
I doubt that she was there, but...
Why?
I'm just saying. It doesn't seem like...
Miss Piggy just
thing,
covered in baby oil.
Yeah. It's a good thought, isn't it?
The Church of Laszlo.
The Church of Laszlo.
On 98.9 The Rock.
Yo!
Yo! All right. Buddy, we're getting close now. Just wait. You're going to be so excited. Okay. I worked this weekend on making this business become a little bit closer to reality. And, yeah, I did. And, you know, I think when you go to present this type of thing to a group of potential investors, they want to have something that they can see, feel, touch, hear, whatever. Something tangible, right? Not just you telling a story. And we know that the idea for cans is a great idea.
It's a great idea.
We already know. It's a liquor store that only sells alcohol in cans. That could be anything. It can be beer. It can be pre-mixed margaritas.
Be huge cans.
But they got to be in cans. They got to be in big cans, right?
Yeah, big cans.
And it's the kind of thing that you could just imagine someone who's going on a weekend trip with the fellas or just going to play a round of golf on a Saturday. Where do they stop on the way?
Cans.
They stop at cans. And who works at cans?
People
good employees.
Cans.
That's right. Good, hardworking employees. So the first thing I did was come up with
some employees.
Well, we'll get to that. I mocked up some looks for the outside of the business, Laszlo. Now, here's one of the first ones that I came up with. As you can see, it says cans here. And the sides of the building are actually covered in large cans. I also worked on some billboards, too, because we're going to need those. I kind of liked this one, a little slightly different color motif. But again, I like incorporating the big cans right alongside the storefront. You know, it gets people's attention. They see.
What does it say up on the upper right there?
For some reason, it says St. Placid, but AI still does some weird things, especially ChatGPT. So let's just pretend like that's the address, okay? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, this one's on Street Placid. but you see what I mean with the cans? Keep it simple, and then have the big novelty cans built
I
in.
I like that, yeah.
You like that? Okay. Another look for you. A little more American. Some
but
of the others might be a little
big
more.
Cans?
Well, it has a tough time with more than one word. So,
but I like cans doesn't really.
We're still just in the developmental phase here. But if you try
but
and
I
type
like the
in
idea
two
of big,
words,
big cans.
I know. But every time I put in more than one word, it came out cambabibs. It can't for some reason do words. You have to keep it simple. That's why if you look closely at the actual cans, the words on the cans don't make any sense either. But as long as I just kept the name of the store simple with cans, it worked. It's still. Now, what about the employees? You want to see the inside of one of these stores?
Sure.
Here's the inside of one of these stores. Now, I like to think that this store here is one of our many, many franchises.
It might be in Brooklyn.
I thought this was in maybe Japan, but it could be in Brooklyn, you know, whatever. But see, you have the aisles, the refrigerated aisles with the cold cans ready to go. And then we'll also have cases of cans that are available to purchase, you know, like a pallet or whatever, because you want to get a bunch of them at once. So I like the black t-shirts, black shorts.
I like
you know,
it.
I didn't know what you think of that. But then I thought we probably both had a slightly different idea in our minds of what we thought these employees would look like. What kind of image conjures up hard work, reliability, maybe the orange shorts, the white t-shirts.
I like it,
that's the inside of one of our other stores. This one's in California. That's a large location. We took over an old Costco there. You see that?
Nice.
Look at the size of that place. It's just aisles of cans. Those are all refrigerators. And see, these girls standing here at
I
this
like
little
the
podium,
orange.
They're handing out samples,
I mean,
too.
We might get sued from Hooters.
No. They don't own orange. I looked into it. We can't put Hooters on there, but
right.
they don't
but it
own
might be,
orange.
You know, we want to stay away from them. It's because we don't want people to think that we're part of them.
Well,
even though that's exactly what we're stealing from.
I also thought
we're gonna call it cans. Maybe like What color? Maybe like just the same color shorts, but maybe just purple.
Well, there used to be those rip-off places. I don't want to say the names, but that were like exact rip-offs of Hooters, the other restaurants. And one of them, the uniforms were the exact same, except the shorts were blue, I think. That was it. I mean, same thing.
Yeah.
Now, but what about those places? There's going to be certain parts of the country where people go, ugh, sexist, ugh, problematic, ugh, gross, ugh. So look. We've got hipster cans. Here, the girls can be seen. I know it's not your favorite, Laszlo.
I don't want hipster cans.
But this is a location where maybe the clientele tends to be a little more female.
If they don't want us, then we don't want them.
I'm just saying that maybe girls will want to shop there, too, and they might feel a little more comfortable.
I don't want hipster cans.
All right. Well, we'll go ahead and take that out of the presentation. Now,
hipster cans. Nothing gross.
This is the ultimate mock-up.
Yeah, sure.
Now, I know that this one we may have some problem with.
Why shouldn't it be big game?
Trademark infringement. It can't do two words at once. It just can't.
But
okay?
It should be big
game. I understand that. We will call it big cans, but this is just for the investors. We're just trying to give them an idea. They'll understand that we can't write two things at once, right? And the shirt will say, just imagine where it says cans above it, it'll say big cans. Now, another idea, though, because we're thinking, You had the same thought, basically. If we have the same uniforms as Hooters, we might get in trouble, so maybe we just change the color a little bit. But you're probably still thinking tights and shorts and similar, right? So then I thought, by the way, I do have one more.
Orange is a good idea. It works for a reason. Good,
right? Yeah. And it's, I hate to say familiar, because I don't want them to
have ammunition
in court. But it does. Yeah, you know it's going to be...
Mm-hmm.
A classy place when you get in there. Like, they're never going to be out
black,
of stuff. And,
like black cans.
Well, then I thought, just what if, and of course we don't have to go with this, but what if it could just be certain shifts, certain times of the day.
Oh, they change.
But what if we had the women of our childhood, when we were boys, coming of age, and learning about the mysteries of sex and rewinding tapes that our parents had rented from Blockbuster over and over and over. What if the women working at cans were all dressed in 80s suits with pantyhose? Hey, these are the outfits that you talk about girls at your school
wearing, right? They didn't wear that.
Well, you talk about
how they do 80s, like with the scrunchy neon stuff. I like that.
So but you don't like the professional, no, I'm your boss? No. What about, now the other thing I thought, because I was afraid you might say that.
Like, I might get in trouble when I go in.
What if the manager looks like this?
That's how my principal dressed.
What if the manager looks like this? Just the manager, she's in charge of the other employees.
Maybe.
It won't do very short
feel
skirts
like
for some
get
reason.
In trouble, I don't like that. I don't want to go to big cans and get in trouble.
Now this one, because I couldn't write big cans, I used actual big cans all around the store, so you know what you're getting. Yes, it still just says cans, but there's big cans everywhere. When you look at it, what would you say to someone? Hey, what's that place over there? Which one? The big cans place. You're already saying it, and didn't even have to have it on the sign.
But if we did have it on the sign,
well, it will be on the sign. Yes, but. You get what I'm saying.
I
like the idea of having these,
giant cans.
Styrofoam or what they are,
giant
novelty cans outside there. Laszlo, now that you've seen it, doesn't it feel a little bit more real? Doesn't it feel
like something? Well, I wish it said like big cans on them.
It will say big cans.
Why can't we make it?
It will say big cans. Because it gets confused when you try and put too many words together.
Those, actually, that's more just than two one really
word.
Small words.
I know, but it kept screwing it up, so... I just thought I'll keep it with cans. You could imagine, but I guess I shouldn't have assumed that. You can imagine that it'll say big cans. And we'd gone back and forth. Originally, the name of it was cans, and then we went to big cans. If you want to call it big cans, that's fine.
You like big cans, right?
I like both. But
just cans? You like just cans?
I like cans. I do like cans. That was my original pitch was cans, just cans. Because, you know, big cans, it's almost like now you... You know,
yeah, but we're only going to sell big cans.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now you're limited to only selling
big cans.
Yeah,
that's what makes it cool.
Well, I get it.
Because then people can come in and just get one big can, two big cans, right?
One big can. But, you know, if you wanted to diversify into selling the smaller Jose Cuervo,
I like big cans, just big cans.
So
I don't want small cans.
So girls...
Or somebody else can write up and make a store called Little Cans.
No, not yet. And they're not calling it Little Cans because the cans is taken. You can't do that. You can't. I already...
If they want small cans or, you know...
Some people like small cans.
Big cans is a waste. Whatever you want to call your store, do it. My store is called Big Cans. Maybe huge cans or massive cans. We can talk about the adjective, but I like big cans.
Okay, so for the uniforms, you like the shorts.
I do.
And I also, I didn't show you all the pictures that I have, but I also, there were, it came up with a few pictures. Sometimes it got a little, maybe, too risque.
Oh, let me see that.
Some of them that it came up with were actually, like, girls in, they were wearing shorts, but then they were wearing, like stockings, you know, like thigh highs that came up so you could see. And I just thought, you know, maybe we don't.
No, Alexis Terry, like, if that's just a section in our store.
What?
Classic cans.
Classic
where
cans.
Where you get the old school ones.
Yeah, but see, like, some of these that it came up with here, I thought, well, this might be a little too... Oh, it's having a hard time loading it, but there you go. A little too kind of...
Ooh,
I know you'd that. Like it. I know you... I figured you'd like it, but is it too far from the original
idea?
Because I did, I really like that. Now, this girl, it's a mix of the two because it put her in orange shorts, black letters that say cans, but then she's wearing black thigh highs under the orange shorts. Now, they can't sue us with that.
I do like that.
That's a different look completely, right? Yeah. She's not wearing white tennis
shoes.
Well,
we have to pay these employees pretty well.
Well, why?
Well, I don't know that people want to wear shorts and thigh highs.
Well, they can get tipped, right? People will tip
them. Put the tip out there for everybody, right?
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll get way more tips than someone would.
I would imagine.
A donut shop or anti-tip.
Yeah, I don't want to tip, but someone will tip them. And if I am going to tip someone, by the way,
I tip her before I tip
exactly.
The dude at Subway.
Right.
True.
I'd rather tip the Hooters girls or the ladies at the club, whatever.
But what happened to just pay your employees minimum wage?
We're going
to
pay them decent
or
money.
We'll pay them more than that. Well, but they're also, but I'm just saying,
okay.
With the way they're dressed, they probably need to get a little bit of a tip.
I feel
too.
Like Slim's getting a little cheap here.
No, Lazo was the one who said, you're going to have to pay them well to get them to do this. And I'm just saying, I think that we can pay them well, but I think they'll exceed even their expectations because they're going to get a lot of money in tips.
No, I agree with that.
I see, like, sometimes it couldn't even do the one word correctly. At one point, it called it cams, and then I thought, well, cams, you know, I don't think we want that. But I do like that it looks like we've had this store for years. That was one of our earliest stores in the 80s there. I don't know what that dude's doing in there, but he's probably like a numbers guy or something, right? Just there.
I like it. Where are we going to open up first?
Well, that's up to the investors. They have to be the ones who pick out which area gets the most foot traffic, what makes the most sense. I think areas where people are partying a lot makes a lot of sense. I think even like Lake of the Ozarks makes a lot of sense. Somewhere near a golf course, those types of places.
Just go anywhere near a Quick Trip.
You can try that.
They've already done all those maps. So just find a place to be a Quick Trip and call it cans.
Boy, I wish that we could work out some sort of deal with Quick Trip and say, hey, while you're doing all these little kitchens in here and everything else,
we'd like to have a little.
Why don't we make another little addition called Big Gans? And, you know, you guys get a piece of it. They'll be connected. No?
It's our idea.
I know.
Big Gans. I'm going to ask for somebody to make an image of Big Gans.
Okay, well, you work on that.
I'm working.
But I just don't want this dream to die, and I thought, I know how to keep this dream
alive.
So
all we need.
Show it to people, let them see it. And Snowcone, you'll post some of those pictures?
I sure can.
Get people's feedback? Thank you. Appreciate it.
Up next, speaking in tongues.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
Yo!
Yo! 15 minutes of fame.
I'm still with all these cans. There's so many good ones here.
I know. I'm telling you.
Late night cans. That's a cheap cans. They're just dented.
Just got to keep the idea alive. Keep people talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get there. We will get there.
Big cans.
We need an angel investor. It would help if the investor had huge cans well.
Or at least liked them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If the investor
should
had
call huge cans or big cans? Huge
cans. Big cans. I
like
remember.
Huge cans, though.
Okay, well.
I mean, it sounds like it's
jumbo
better.
Cans?
Huge. I think huge is the right word.
Okay, huge,
huge
cans.
Huge cans.
Huge cans. Yeah. That might have been what we said originally.
It was.
Huge cans. Huge cans. That's the name of it. And we'll get it broken down by section. People, if they want to join in on Twitch, they're welcome. There's been quite a conversation going on.
Mm-hmm.
But put a pin in that because we will get back to that store as we get closer to the first grand opening. And the what do? They cut the ribbon, right? The ribbon cutting ceremony. Which I think we should have someone do that with huge hands.
Of course we should.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. This is why we'll be good business partners. So thank
of course.
You. We just agree.
Why would we do it? We want like three people out there with huge cans.
Yeah. That's what I was just going to say. We should have more than one person doing it. Yeah. It should be like at least two or three people with huge
and,
cans.
And cutting of it should
be the scissors.
Like
should.
Shirt.
What if the scissors look
shirt
like big
that
cans?
Opens up into big cans. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Into huge cans. Sorry.
This is the kind of stuff that we talk about on our show, and you know, we're just spitballing here, mm-hmm. and you can hear this up on a podcast, and we've been coming up with ideas that never come to fruition for years and years. And in that time, we've managed to stay employed longer than we ever would have thought. And I've been told at times that our podcast even does well. I don't know how well it does now. But when I see news stories like this, I think, why are
Canadians,
we still...
Canadians, huge Canadians, huge Mexicans.
Yeah, we're just now adding huge to everything that we said earlier.
It's good.
I like it. But the Hawk Tua girl, if ever there should have been a girl with 15 minutes of fame that maybe wasn't even a full 15 minutes, you would have thought it would have been the Hawk Tua girl. Now, I love her, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But we've seen a lot of different... I mean, there was the girl who wrote The Man in Finance or whatever, and someone gave her a record deal, and then I never heard of her again. And that doesn't mean that she might have the number one song on Billboard Hot 100 right now. I don't know. But it seemed like she disappeared after we talked about that story. But the Hawk Tua girl is still being talked about. And now she's being talked about because, as I'm sure you've seen, Laszlo, she has a podcast, and it is now the number three most popular podcast on Spotify. It's only being beat by, like, Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson or something like that, right? Are those the two that are beating her?
That's it.
What
I mean,
she
good
about?
Lord, I haven't really listened.
She's literally doing anything to stay relevant.
Does anyone actually give a fuck about her?
Why are we keeping this girl relevant?
Y'all really thought I was done? I'm just getting started, baby.
I'm Hailey Welch. A little while ago, my life took a complete left turn and it changed forever. And along the way, I realized that everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Well, now it's my time to talk. Check out my podcast every week. Talk to her.
No need. Keep it right here. Talk to her.
Talk to her. What does she talk about?
Pretty good name. She interviews people. She had your guy on there. Who's the guy that makes the Prime Energy drinks, the YouTube star? I saw him on there. One of the
Logan
brothers.
Paul?
One of them. I get him confused. But yeah, one of them was on there. I think she had some pretty big celebrities on there. I don't really know. Have you listened to Snow Cone or seen any clips?
I watched a clip last week.
Was it with Logan
Paul? Of the second episode. No, it was her and her friends sitting on the porch talking about, like, the whole origin story.
Well, I mean, she went from making, what, springs in a spring factory to being the number three podcaster on Spotify.
Not bad.
It's pretty good. So it got me thinking, who are...
That's right. I'm with DJ Uncle Jesse. I don't care about her because you know why?
I know you don't like her because she's small cans.
Yeah. She doesn't have huge cans. But she makes up for it with, you know...
Now that she's getting
tenacity.
Money, who knows?
And I like, you know... Or stick-to-itiveness. I like the whole Hawk Tua thing, but you still don't have huge gains.
Yeah, some people aren't born with the same thing. They
I know, so
harder.
They have to try harder, and I appreciate her trying harder.
So who are the celebrities who should have had 15 minutes of fame that managed to milk it the most? They
Catch
did the
me
best
outside.
Job. That was my first and really only thought was the Cash Me Outside girl. She was a perfect example of someone that should have been 15 minutes. I mean, really, she was a meme, if anything. It was Cash Me Outside. How about that? And where do you go from there? Well, how about one of the biggest OnlyFans sites of all time?
Like
I think the biggest
50 million, like in 1 week.
The biggest daily. Didn't she break the record for the most money in a single day at one point? I don't know how long she held that. She had a rap album or something.
$50 million in 1 week.
And her music career, I think, made some money. And now you can find different estimates for how much she's worth from different sites. But yeah, she's worth probably $50 million or more, at least, because she made a ton of money on OnlyFans alone. And that's been, we're talking like 10 years ago now. So, because I think when she went on Dr. Phil, she was like 14 years old. Speaking of, Dr. Phil is actually one that people say should have been a 15 minutes because he was on Oprah. He was Oprah's friend or whatever. And then he managed to, because people liked his appearance, he got that show. And not only did he get a show, but the show... It stuck around. So, okay, I get it. I put Dr. Phil on there, too. Now, there's like an obvious one that I think, other than the Cash Me Outside one, there's one that I never would have thought of just because of the level of fame, but it does make sense when people say this is the best example of 15 minutes of fame.
Kardashian?
The Kardashians.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It was a sex tape.
Of course, but I forget about the sex tape now. To me, they're reality TV stars who have giant empires, brands, all those things. I forget about the sex tape. And if I'm being honest, I don't think I ever saw it. I don't think I ever saw the sex tape. I saw the Paris Hilton one.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
I rented the Paris Hilton one.
You did? You're a big fan, huh?
I went to the movie place, and I think it was a Family Video, and they had, if it was a Family Video, I think it was, they had like an adult section where you go behind the curtain, and I was like, oh, A Night in Paris.
Huge Kardashian cans.
Yeah. And
man, there's sections for everybody here.
But I don't think I saw the Kardashian one. Has everyone else seen it? You guys have all seen it?
I think so.
I don't think. Who was she with? Ray J. Is that who it was?
Yeah, Ray J.
I knew that, but that's it. The Island Boys, they say, did a very good job of milking their 15 minutes, but I got to be honest, I don't know if the Island, like how much money, did you say I don't know what that is?
I don't know what that is.
How much money, Sunkon, do you think, like, are they rich, the Island Boys? Did they get rich?
I don't know, I feel like maybe a couple million.
They made it look like they were rich, for sure. But those could be rented homes. I don't know. You'd see them out back by their pool, and they definitely looked. I don't know, though, what started them. Was it a bad rap song?
I don't know.
I think so, was yeah.
I just assumed that they were guys who wanted to be rappers, and then that was that. A very good example, right below the Kardashians, they said, until it got ruined, but he did milk it for a long time, was Jared from Subway. Here's a guy that lost some weight, and Subway said, you want to do a commercial? And then he becomes the spokesperson. Massive. And not only does he become the like permanent spokesperson for Subway, but he becomes like the biggest spokesperson for any company. I don't know that there was another brand that was more associated with an individual than Jared from Subway. And if you watch that documentary, he was making a lot of money doing it, too.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of money. That's the kind of thing that you would just assume every day. Well, it's going to end tomorrow. It's going to end tomorrow. But I think it got to a point where
people loved him.
No, I'm actually part of this brand now, and I am. It's like you can't say Subway without saying Jared.
Yep.
And then what did he do?
He had sex with kids.
Went off and had sex with kids, you know?
Don't do that.
Do not do that. Other 15 minutes, you know, somebody said... Nancy Kerrigan. How did she milk that? There's no milk that. Now, Tanya Harding, maybe a little bit because she continued to do interviews, but I feel like that's a good example of an actual 15 minutes of fame. It was huge when it happened, and then that was kind of it. The next one was what were their names? John and Kate plus eight, the Goslins. Now, Kate Goslin did manage to milk that. She had a reality show. It was supposed to be, I think the original one might have been part of another reality show about people who had a bunch of kids. Right. They give them their own show, and you say, well, that happens to some people, though. They get their own reality show. But she managed to get that cruise and everything. Now, since then, I think she's gone away. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard from her in a while. But I also got the feeling that she made a lot of money, and he did not. Did you watch that Vice thing about him?
No.
They did a thing about them recently, and they were just talking about like what happened to these people from the 2000s. And man, that dude, just think about how frustrating that would be. You're married. She treated him like crap. At least in the show, it seemed like she treated him like crap. She just yelled at him and made fun of him all the time. And yet, she went on to be this huge celebrity who made all this money and got a cruise. You're divorced, sitting at home, asking for alimony, I guess. And then you try and go on a date with someone like, oh, look at this loser. He's dating the kid's teacher. Dude, that I bet he needed a Big Cans to just relax. That's what he needed. Drive by a Big Cans. We could have probably gotten him to be an endorser.
Huge, God damn it.
Huge. Sorry, not big. Huge. Is there a Big Can section for the not so huge?
No.
There's not?
They're all huge cans.
Well, there was small cans that you said you're going to open up after 1 a.m. So now we've gotten rid of the small cans at the back.
Yeah, I don't like small cans.
Okay,
huge
fine.
Cans. If we want to open up another store.
Well, we're going to have multiple locations.
Called average cans or little cans, that's fine. But huge cans, that's where we start.
I gotcha. Huge cans. No big cans, no little cans.
Just huge cans.
Okay, huge cans. But we went through this whole thing just a couple minutes ago, and you agreed.
I know, but no, I don't like it anymore.
You just changed your mind.
Yeah, because I really think it mixes the message. Okay. What do we like?
Huge cans.
What do we love?
Huge cans.
What's the name of our store?
Huge cans.
And there we go. That's what we're going to cheer every day before we open the doors.
Huge cans. Huge cans. Huge cans.
Yeah, they really get paid for this.
You believe this shit?
The Church of Laszlo.
Amen, brother.
98.9 The Rock.
Yo!
Yo, did you guys finish watching the Vince McMahon thing?
I did.
And?
I thought it was great.
What are your final thoughts about him? Like the stuff with the son and all of that, and then
I thought he was a pretty likable guy. I'm being honest, like the way he talks. Now, take away like all the lawsuits, because if you watched it all of the interviews and everything take place before the final outcome, and so they're like, you know, he refused to talk after all that stuff. But the way he talked and the way you know his family kind of talked about him, and you know, I. I thought he came off fairly personable. He's a good actor for sure.
Oh, so I'm asking, like, what do you, if you had to guess what you think he's like in real life to either be around him, to work for him, or to be related to him, what do you think?
I think you have to understand that he is going to be driven, past driven. He's a one-track mind. He probably works 24/7, and he expects you to do the same. And if you don't want to do the same, then you're in trouble. Get out of here.
You know what I don't understand is he talks about, at the very beginning of that series, his dad, and how his dad didn't say things like, I'm proud of you, I love you. And it's very clear that he wishes his dad had said those things. Then we fast forward towards the end of the series.
Shane O'Mac.
He's talking about his son, and now he doesn't say those things to his son.
Well, his son says he doesn't say
that. Well, his son says that, and then Vince says, you know, and I don't really say this. Should I have said those more? You know, maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
Right.
It's like, well, it's just, you know, it's crazy how that stuff works. You'd think it's generational.
Yeah.
That's what they say. Of course. It's always generational. But it's just to see someone who's aware of it. They're saying, I wish my dad had said that stuff more. All I ever wanted was my dad's approval.
Right.
And then it seems like fast forward, and he
doesn't
understand
how to
all
give
his
it because his dad never gave it to him.
Maybe.
We didn't know when to give it.
And then all his
son.
That's
what I took from it is that, you know, hey, here we are again.
Right.
It's Vince acting like his dad, not really understanding. His dad probably felt the same way. He didn't really know how to say, I'm proud of you.
Right. It's crazy. It's just, and I know they talk about generational trauma, whatever, but it totally is. And you watch it play out in that show. And because he and Shane didn't talk for a while, they said, I don't know how long. It was like maybe they said some years. Maybe it was 9 months.
But did you like it? What did you think of him?
I'm not a wrestling person. He seems like a sleazeball to me, like a total sleazeball. But I think
in a sense, like what?
Like, I think he's probably a kind of a bad person. I don't think he really cares about other people's feelings too much. I think he's probably hurt a lot of people and not cared that he's hurt a lot of people and been aware that he's hurting a lot of people along the way. And, he seems like kind of like his character.
I think he just keeps saying business is business. But I also felt like he took care of a lot of people, too.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
And all those people that said that he hurt him or did something bad, they all came back.
Yeah. Yeah,
they all came back. I always thought that was interesting.
Well, you know,
like Vince did this, Vince did this, Vince did this, and then they show him come back. And I thought it was interesting. They said Vince doesn't care if you're good for business, you can come back.
Yeah,
well, they would come back.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I'm not a wrestling person. I didn't watch wrestling growing up. You do not have to. You don't need to be a fan. I'd say it's one of the better documentaries that I've seen. In a long time, wouldn't you?
I thought it was great.
It's really, really, really good.
I thought it was a really interesting guy.
I'm guessing if you are a wrestling fan, it's just all the more entertaining. I thought it was great. I couldn't stop watching it, and I finished it. So I thought it was good. If you get a chance, watch it. Now I just need a new documentary to watch. So
I don't know any other ones.
You have to find one for
me. I thought that was really good. I'd like to see what would have happened after all that.
After, if he hadn't had the final thing, story published?
Yeah.
Like if he'd been able to stay with TKO?
No, or even if they would have been able to talk to him after these allegations came out.
Oh, if they could have talked to him.
Yeah, but he just said no, he wouldn't talk about it, so.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? I mean, he's got that guy that still works for him, and that guy was very defensive of him and very loyal to him, that's for sure. And he's the one who said, like, you know, people say he's a bad guy, but what they don't know is that my wife got cancer, and he helped pay for her treatment.
24 years later.
And yeah, she's still alive.
I think he's probably, like, that's the kind of vibe I got from him. I think he's probably, for the most part, a pretty loyal dude. I think he works hard, and I think he expects you to work hard. And I also think he has no idea on how boundaries work. And I think he's in charge of everything in his life, and you'll do exactly what he tells you to do.
And he's surrounded by
whenever
yes
he tells
men.
You to do.
He's surrounded
period.
By yes men because he's
not,
got money, and his, even his kids.
But
you
he
know?
Created this thing from the bottom.
Right.
So it's even like, if you tell me I'm not doing this, or you're not going to do this, I'll end you.
Yeah,
this is what I do. It's mine. It's all mine.
Yeah,
and so
he made
I
that
mean,
pretty clear.
Right.
So I thought it was interesting. I know so little about wrestling. I didn't know the stuff about Bret Hart and how that all ended.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Even when they explained it, I had to text someone and be like, "Okay, I know so little about wrestling that I'm watching this. I didn't get up and go use the restroom. What the hell was supposed to happen? What went wrong?" And Snow Cone explained to me like, "Well, the agreement was, I think that." There was supposed to be some people rush the stage, and then it becomes this melee. And then when there's a melee, you can't have the fight gets called or whatever. And that's what
well, I don't know how
Hart
it's gonna
had
be,
agreed
but Bret
to.
Bret Hart wasn't going to lose in Calgary.
Right.
That's what they – I mean, they both said that's what it was agreed on. There's a term for it, but it's when a bunch of guys, you know, start rushing the ring and there's a huge melee – and that
and then
the
ref
rings the bell, and so
there's no
official win.
No official
win. So he's not necessarily winning.
And that's how he would, yeah, and that's how
the belt would then be available. Because what they were trying to do is get the belt available before he left.
Well, he said, well, all right.
See,
he wouldn't give the belt up if there's a disqualification. He'd still be the champion.
Okay.
You don't lose the belt on a champion.
That's what I wondered. That's what they made it sound like.
He said that he would lose them, but he didn't want to lose in Calgary.
Okay. Well, I was totally unaware of all that.
So what he didn't want to do was lose to Shawn Michaels. He didn't like Shawn Michaels.
They hated each other.
So I'll lose, but I'm not losing to Shawn Michaels. I don't want to lose in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Vince is like, it's my story. You'll lose to whoever I want. It's my belt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when he did the Montreal screw job.
Okay.
But Bret Hart did not want to lose to Shawn Michaels.
Clearly.
That was the big argument.
And, you know, seeing all these people online talk about the Owen Hart thing, it's so crazy because being from Kansas City, I had friends who were at that WrestleMania. I remember being in school the next day and my friends who were at that event talking about it. I mean, all anybody talked about was, oh, my God, you know, Owen Hart died. And I'm like, what happened? And they were explaining it. Now, my friends at the time explained, we saw somebody fall from the ceiling and then you heard a sound. Boom. But we didn't know if they'd, like, thrown a dummy at first. We didn't know what was going on. We just saw it look like somebody fell and then hit the mat. Well, in the documentary, they make it seem like no one in the arena saw it because the lights were off. And I thought, I wonder if my friends were just exaggerating because they were there and they found out later. Or if
could you see him?
The WWE. And how weird is it? I know you guys mentioned this, but the fact that every time they would say WWF, the closed captions still say WWE.
Yeah.
What? I don't understand.
Because they probably get sued. They're not allowed to say it.
But they're saying it. Like, people are literally saying it in the documentary.
Right, Netflix isn't. That's, you know,
Captions for the hearing impaired. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand. I've never seen something like that before.
It's got to be they're afraid of getting sued.
That's the only thing.
It's a trademark, they didn't want to break the trademark.
No.
I've just never seen anything like that.
So
and
this archived footage,
seems so illogical.
They say, and that's archived footage.
You're making money
it's happening now.
You're making money now off of that name by putting out this new documentary.
Right, so I think they're just playing it safe. Even if they might not have gotten sued, I think they're just playing it safe.
It's weird then that they would say, we'll get rid of the closed captions. But yeah, anyway, it's good. It was like 6 episodes long, but I watched it over the course of 2 nights, and I would have watched it in 1 if we didn't have to work the next day. I have a feeling Snowcone didn't finish it and won't.
I have 1 left.
He'll never finish
it tonight.
He'll never finish it.
The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9 The Rock.
Yo!
Yo! That's it.
That's it. We're done, huh?
We're done. Good seeing you guys. Watching the big game tonight?
Yeah, Lions. Let's go, baby.
Money
Lions, Seahawks. I haven't yet, but I will.
Well, my app is not letting me withdraw my money still, so I guess I have to bet more money on this
Lions
game.
Lions money line.
Oh, I need a big parlay. Something big.
Gibbs and Laporta to both score a touchdown.
Okay.
There you go. That should be plus a lot because he's hasn't had a good season.
I hope he's playing.
Yeah.
You're not just setting me up here.
No, I'm going to bet it myself right now.
Anytime touchdown for both of them? Okay. Got it. How much
you could
I
probably
bet?
Do. Might not do Gibbs, do Montgomery.
Oh, don't second guess yourself now.
All right.
Now I got to do both.
Yeah, I know. But then that's 3 touchdowns. You don't want to do that.
No, I can do 2 different bets, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Fair enough.
Okay, fine. Snowcone, big plans tonight? What were you crying about earlier?
I was crying. I'm going to watch the game and then finish the McMahon documentary. That's the plan.
Good. Well, I look forward to catching up with you guys and hearing all about it tomorrow. Very excited. I miss you guys when I'm not with you. You know that.
Good show, Vinny Mac. Stay positive, kids.
Yeah, they really get paid for this.
You believe this shit?
The Church of Laszlo.
Amen, brother.
98.9 The Rock.